I'm Brett Hayworth, and welcome to What's a Frequency, our weekly show on Siouxland Public Media. For this episode of What's a Frequency, the state legislatures in South Dakota, Nebraska, and Iowa are getting started. Lawmakers will introduce bills that could change state fiscal or taxation policies or that impact people's lives through agencies that have services in education, law enforcement, healthcare, or other areas. There will be the annual battles over how much to deliver to public education and to teachers. The South Dakota legislature begins the 2026 session on January 13th, and the Nebraska unicameral gaveled in on January 7th. We'll have more from those two states in an upcoming What's a Frequency. For this episode, we focus on the Iowa legislature, which begins on Monday, January 12th. My guests to talk about what may lie ahead are Democratic Representative J.D. Scholten of Sioux City's House District 1 and Representative Jacob Bosman of Sioux City of District 14. And we begin with Democratic Representative Scholten. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
How are you doing? And when were you first elected, and what committees are you on this year?
Yep. So this will be my fourth year. So my second term, I'm finishing up the second year of my second term. I'm the ranking member on agriculture. I'm also on transportation, technology, and economic development. That's combined into one. And natural resources. And so that's kind of my focal point while I'm down there. But yeah, as we go down there, it's kind of anything and everything.
Mm-hmm. And is it getting easier to serve with the more years that you put in the Iowa House? Is there, some knowledge of the institution and processes and such that has come?
For sure. And it's also, I know much more on what to expect. I think that's one of the bigger things, when my girlfriend asked me, is there a good weekend we can get away for the weekend or something like that? I know which ones to kind of stay away from and which ones will hopefully work out, but you never know. That's the big thing, is you really never know. And going into each day is completely different. And you think, a Tuesday is going to be quiet. And then all of a sudden you're there until 9 o'clock at night and hadn't had a chance to grab a bite to eat type of situation, and just one of those things. So it's very unpredictable, but being my fourth year now, I know what to expect in the unpredictableness.
Okay. And how do you, as a state representative, over the weeks, over the last recent weeks, I'm guessing, how do you get ready for the session? What do you do?
Yeah, there's a lot of pre-legislative meetings. So the Iowa House Democrats met in early December. I did it virtually. It was one of those storm weekends, and so I didn't want to have to travel if I didn't wasn't necessary. So I did a virtual meeting. I gave a presentation on agriculture committee, and then there's just a ton of meetings with different groups. A lot of them are annual meetings, and it's good to know kind of where everything is in the city and in the community, and making sure you understand what's happening here and what we can do down there to improve our lives here in Sioux City.
Okay. And Republicans are again in the majority in the Iowa legislature in both chambers, and Democrats are in the minority in the Iowa House where you serve. Who is the leader of the Democrats in your chamber, and how do you as Democrats come up with a playbook that you want to pursue?
Yeah. So we have a new leader. It's Representative Brian Meyer out of Des Moines. Jennifer Confers has been our leader the past few years, but she's running for Congress and stepped down from leadership to focus on that. And so it's going to be a little bit new this year from my three previous years. And one of the things that I liked what they did was, for the last few years, Republicans have talked about property tax being the number one issue, and yet we have not even seen a proposal from them. And so what Brian Meyer and Representative Dave Jacoby out of Coralville have done is come up with a plan, and they announced it on Monday. And I think it's really good to show hey, this is what we're standing for. This is what we think will work for Iowa. And as we go through these debates and everything, we can, at least as Democrats, we can say, hey, we offered a solution, take it or leave it. But this is what we would do if we were in charge. And for folks who are wondering, here's a couple of the top points in it. We really want to do the triple the homestead tax credit for Iowans and cap property tax growth at 4%. We want to provide immediate relief to islands by rebating $1,000 to homeowners and $500 to renters. And in doing so, we feel that we will show that the state supports police, fire, and EMS retirements. I worry that there's going to be a lot of cuts when it comes to those when numbers get shrunk, I guess. And then the last thing is it freezes seniors' property taxes. And so it allows folks who are older to stay in their property. Because as property taxes have skyrised, a lot of older people are on fixed incomes. And so we feel like these are things that we think that they should be focused on when it comes to property tax. But again, we don't know because Republicans haven't given us or haven't provided an offer. All they just say is we need to do something.
And hearing you say that, Representative J.D. Scholten from Sioux City, I'm reminded of when we talked a year ago, property taxes were the big discussion point a year ago of Republicans. Ultimately, what happened? Like, why did nothing come forward in your conception?
It's about priorities. Like, they've had another full year to work on something. And to be honest, what I've seen in the last 3 years down there, my entire time, is they tend to focus on controversial out-of-state bills that are, I view as harmful to Iowa, bills that on one side have bipartisan opposition, but then get passed by the majority party, the Republicans there, and it's a lot of controversial stuff, whereas actual, like, the needs of the state, I feel it has placed second in a lot of their decisions. And so it's very frustrating because you see that when you go door knock, you hear a lot of property taxes are going up. And a huge part of it is because of the way they've done the tax, they put more of a burden on the property tax. And Republicans who have voted for it down at the Capitol, when we meet with city officials and county officials, those folks, even though they might be Republican, they're frustrated with the Republican legislature because of what's happened. And so here we are. We're trying to clean up the mess, and I'll be interested to see what the Republicans have to propose, where the Democrats have already proposed something that's public.
Okay, and then one more question on property taxes before we move on. I want to make sure that people understand that property taxes go to, as you just referenced, to city councils, to county supervisors, to school boards. So
yep.
So they go there. So if there is anything that the legislature does could impact a wide variety of entities, and in addition to the property owners themselves.
Exactly, and that's what we've heard for the last 2 years. Like when you talked about these pre-legislative meetings we've had the last month or so, we're going to be meeting with the Sioux City here, the city council, and different people who work with the city. We have that later this week. And what we met with them last year, they brought this attention to us and saying how what we have passed down at the Capitol, it hurts cities and it handcuffs them on what they can do with their money. And they're looking at having to potentially, whether it's lay off police men and women or firemen and women or EMS workers. And so like they're frustrated with what's happened down at the Capitol, and so because they felt like they just can't really do much, and same with the Woodbury County Board of Supervisors, they feel something very similar, and just like we've had these meetings, and we just haven't had Republicans down at the Capitol just haven't offered anything publicly, and so we're eager to have that debate, something we can bring back to our constituents, and just said, hey, what are your thoughts on this or that? We haven't heard anything. And so it's very frustrating on our end, but they say it's a top priority. We'll see.
Okay. Thank you, Representative J.D. Scholten. And we're back for more in this What's a Frequency show, discussing the upcoming session of the Iowa Legislature, which begins on January 12th. I'm talking with Democratic State Representative J.D. Shulton for one more segment here. What are other Democratic priorities? Education is always seems to be a prime topic for Democrats. Do you have anything that you want specifically to happen, either you or the party, concerning K-12 or college education?
The bottom line is we need to fund public education enough that, like, it doesn't go backwards. You know, when I graduated high school, we were first in the nation in education, and we are not that there anymore. And you can see the decline matches with the Republican trifecta and their lack of investment in public education. At the same time, they passed the voucher program that gives a blank check of taxpayer money to private schools. And we're starting to see the outcomes of that, and that's way over budget. And that's they end up putting a lot of the cuts on public education. You have states like South Dakota, where their governor has offered a 0% raise in their what's called SSA funding, which is additional money for public education. We're worried that or somewhere below the 2% mark, which Republicans have been at the past few years. Democrats have offered 5% the past few years, and they haven't been for that. And so it just, when it comes to education, it's been very, very frustrating because that's something that growing up, both sides could agree upon. It was a priority. And the whole reason I got into deciding to run for state office was my grandmother is my biggest inspiration. And she was a fifth grade teacher. And when I was thinking about running for state house, that's when they started attacking the teachers and called them having a sinister agenda and all that stuff. And that just, that type of crap I didn't like, and decided to run, and here I am.
Thank you. Do you feel that what you just mentioned there, the educational savings accounts that were put in place by Republicans, there can be used by Iowa families to attend private schools, are those going to be ironclad, or is there any way for Democrats to push back on those?
Until Democrats gain the majority, I think we're stuck with those. Like, we're even offering situations of, like, can we at least cap the number? Because, again, this is a blank check to an out-of-state organization that oversees this with no mandatory auditing, no mandatory reporting. We have no idea where this money is going, and this is taxpayer money. And so there's some things in there that we should just have some common sense, just concepts around what's happening with this and the funding of this. Because, again, it's taxpayers' money that's doing this. We do it with public schools. We do it with a lot of other things. And having auditing ability where your taxpayer money goes, that should be a core principle of what we do down there. But when it comes to the vouchers, for whatever reason, that's supposed to be special. So it's been a huge frustrating part of being a Democrat down there, is trying to just offer some common sense solutions to their plans, and it goes nowhere.
And the voice you're hearing is Democratic State Senator J.D. Shulton of Sioux City. Other topics that you want to address, or you personally want to see bills, or again, as a party, things you that we haven't talked about, whether it be healthcare or what have you, other priorities that you want to mention here?
Yeah, so one of the things that I think foreseeable things going into this, and this is going to be a unique session because it'll be the first time in a long, long, long time that we have a lame duck governor.
That was my next question. So, continue. Go ahead. Continue. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, so we don't know what's going to happen, because typically, like, what we've seen in the past is the governor gives her condition of the state speech, which will happen on Tuesday night. Then that kind of sets the agenda for a lot of the session. But with her not running for reelection, we don't know if the leaders in the House or the Senate are going to go along with those things, because, again, she's lost a lot of her political capital by not running for reelection. So we don't know what's going to happen. But I'll say this, is that one of the things she wanted was an Iowa Doge, like they did at the federal level, and she had it of... It looked like mostly, I don't think there was, it was bipartisan by any means. I think it was all
just
Republicans.
Just real quickly, sorry. For those who don't know, DOGE would be a Department of Government Efficiency, so looking for ways to save money. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yes, exactly. And thank you. And our argument is that we have that already in the state auditor's office, but they passed a bill to limit the state auditor's ability to do their job. And because it's a political ploy, because that's the one Democrat statewide in Rob Sand. And so they created this DOGE task force, I guess that you would call it. And they offered a lot of potential things to do. And it goes anywhere from getting rid of 4-H to changing IPERS. And IPERS is the retirement plan for public employees in the state of Iowa, which has been wonderful to a lot of people, and that shouldn't get touched whatsoever. It's doing fine. And so we're worried that the governor and Republicans are going to take up some of these suggestions that DOGE, again, not elected people on a task force that, I mean, kind of looks like self-interest in a lot of this stuff. And so not really supportive of their outcome, and hopefully they don't do anything legislatively.
And thank you for anticipating my next question and delving into. I want to talk about the politics of how that might color the legislature and you know how you guys function this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting because I don't know when the last time we've had a lame duck governor, and so it'll be really interesting to hear her condition of the state speech, because this is the power she has. This time a couple of years ago, there was rumored that something was going to happen with AEAs. We didn't know what. A lot of the people were saying, oh, it'd go from nine regions to seven or something along those lines. Well, on the condition of the state speech, she said what she wanted when it came to AEAs, and the very next day, she dropped I don't know how many pages it was. It was over 100 list of what she wanted to do with them and the cuts to AEAs. To go from not giving any public notice or anything along those lines to that drastic of a change was absolutely ridiculous. But then Republicans passed it because she had so much power. She had power over the voucher program. And when they didn't vote for it, she primaried, I think, 8 of her own Republicans who voted against who weren't supportive of the voucher bill. And so, you know, she's had a lot of political capital in the past, and it's going to be interesting now. I think that's the biggest unknown going into this session is how much power does she have to enforce the things that she wants to get done in her last year.
Well, I hope you enjoy the session, and thank you for spending time with me here on this What's the Frequency. Again, that was Democratic State Representative J.D. Scholten. We've been chatting about, for this What's the Frequency show, about the upcoming session of the Iowa Legislature. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And I'll be back with the Republican lawmaker, Jacob Bossman, after this short break. Back for more on this What's a Frequency show previewing the Iowa Legislature, which begins on Monday, January 12th. As the session begins, there are two new lawmakers from Northwest Iowa serving after two special elections since summer of 2025. Democrat Caitlin Dre of Sioux City flipped control of an Iowa Senate seat in Woodbury County by winning the special election following the death of Rocky DeWitt of Lawton. And in Iowa House District 7, Republican Mike Sexton resigned, and another Republican, Wendy Larson of Odebolt, won to keep that seat in the party's control. And my second guest in the show to talk about what may lie ahead for the legislature is Republican Jacob Bossman of Sioux City. He's a state representative in Iowa House District 14. So thank you for joining me, Jacob.
Yeah, glad to be here.
To begin, could you summarize the terms that you've served in the Iowa House when you first were elected and how long, how many terms that's been so far?
Yeah, so I was elected in a special election in 2018. So this is exactly 8 years. So this will be the beginning of my ninth session. So I came in the middle of a term and then been elected to four terms since then. So just coming up on the end of my fourth full term.
Okay. And then what committees are you on and what are some of the chief policy things that you would like to see happening this year?
Yeah, so I stay busy, which is good. I serve on the Appropriations Committee and I'm chair of the Transportation and Infrastructure Appropriation Budget within the Appropriations Committee. And then I also serve on Commerce and State Government committees, as well as the Transportation Committee. So deal with a lot of things in that sphere, dealing with insurance and energy, and state government kind of covers all things related to state government, from alcohol to elections. But what I really have been trying to focus on the last couple of years, and that really stems from conversations that I've had from employers and constituents right after I got elected, was we're obviously in the middle of a kind of unprecedented workforce shortage. You know, to be able to grow and maintain, you know, this economy in Sioux City, what I really tried to focus on is how we can be efficient with the workforce that we have. And what I've really learned, and I always tell people when I go to meetings, like, tell me what the barriers to employment are that you find when you're trying to hire people, and what can the state do to help with that? And I find areas from, you know, childcare was one right away that I was made aware of, that we at the state level have really done a lot to try to increase affordability and access to childcare. But also housing is probably the number one issue I'm hearing now. Businesses will tell me after a long search, they finally find somebody to fill this position that's been open for years or for a year. And they come to the area, you know, with their family, they can't find a house that they can afford, and they end up, you know, moving to Sioux Falls or taking a job somewhere else. But also job training, transportation, access to mental health care. I'm hearing from employers now where they have employees that just can't work full time because they don't have access to mental health care. We've done things with telehealth to try to increase that access. But I guess that's the number one issue I try to focus on, is what can we do as a state to try to eliminate some of those barriers so people who want to be in the workforce want to improve their standing in life, improve the quality of life of their family, can do so. But then the other side of that is we need to talk about growing the state of Iowa. And so what policies can we enact, whether that's lower taxes, whether that is quality life of life amendment amenities. A lot of parks and outdoor recreation is funded through the infrastructure budget that I'm chair of, CAT grants for community parks and things like that. But also the University of Northern Iowa this last year enacted a new policy where they're offering in-state tuition to people from neighboring states. Right. And some people look at that and they think, well, why are we giving money to out-of-state people? Well, this is a you know, maybe with the intent of trying to get some of these people from Minnesota or Illinois to come to college in Iowa, realize how great it is. And then, you know, studies have shown that a large percentage of people that go to college here stay here and develop their careers and their families here. So I just bring all that up. I know that was a lot, but just that's what I'm really trying to focus on, is what can we do to really eliminate the barriers to workforce, and what can we do to bring people into the state of Iowa? And that impacts a lot of different areas.
Yeah, and the voice you're hearing there is Republican State Representative Jacob Bossman of Sioux City. No, that's the perfect entry, I think, to summarize all the things that are important to you. And just real quick, I interviewed the University of Northern Iowa president, Mark Nook, last spring for a Frequency Show.
Yeah.
And he talked about that out-of-state tuition for other states. And there has been a kind of a drain from this area of students that used to go to UNI in past decades that were going to USD or South Dakota State. So
see, when you get a newspaper and you see the graduating class, maybe from Lamar's or Sioux Center, and it would be 80% of them going to Iowa State or UNI. And I saw one a couple months ago, and I think it was 80-90% of the graduates were going to South Dakota State. And I saw that not only are you losing those students maybe forever, but then their kids, friends, neighbors, cousins are all going to South Dakota State, and you create this pipeline that might be irreversible. So yeah, anything we can do to keep those people in Iowa, I think, is in our best interest, because we need nurses and doctors and engineers and truck drivers and welders and everything. And I think we're losing a lot of these to our neighboring states. It used to be, you would just glance through it, and it was kind of like, oh, it was cool to see every once in a while somebody's going to Notre Dame or somebody's going to Morningside, but 80% of them were Iowa State or UNI. And I was just shocked, maybe it was a year and a half ago, opening the newspaper, and it was South Dakota State, South Dakota State, South Dakota State, South Dakota State. I was like, wow, when did that happen? Yeah.
And we'll get, I want to get to several more specific questions for you here on certain issues, but just one more question before we get into that. What would you say are the key skills that you think make for being an effective legislator?
I think really listening. I mean, you have to be able and willing to go meet with constituents, be present. Most of the main issues that I've focused on, childcare and housing, since I've been down there, came from meetings that I had with constituents, employers, that would tell me stories about the challenges they were experiencing that were different than maybe I thought they were. You go into a meeting saying, hey, are taxes too high? Do we need to lower them? And they say, well, yeah, but we really need the state to help with housing. We really need the state to help with childcare. So I think you really need to be willing to listen, but willing to go into conversations, understanding that you don't know the answers, and sort of willing to change your approach based on that. But also discernment. I think so often there's legislators that get one angry phone call about something, and they'll say, I can't vote for this, I have to oppose it. And they don't understand that we probably have 5,000 constituents that support this. They just aren't calling you. And it takes a while, I think, to understand that comes back to the communication as well. You have to be in touch with your constituents so you really know what they need you to do and represent them doing down in Des Moines.
Thank you, Representative Bossman. We'll be back for after this short break. Back for more on this What's the Frequency show, discussing the upcoming session of the Iowa Legislature, which begins on January 12th. I'm talking with Republican State Representative Jacob Bossman of Sioux City. I want to go to where a lot of discussion took place at this time last year, which is on property taxes. Republicans control both chambers, of course, and there was a lot of talk about wanting to address property taxes, but nothing passed. Why would you say that was, and was there a bill in the Iowa House that you supported?
There was a bill at the end. We were kind of vetting it and considering it. I would say it wasn't quite ready for prime time. There was some concerns that while it was lowering taxes on some people, it was increasing taxes on others. It was decreasing revenue to some communities, increasing revenue to others. So it wasn't really ready. I had a lot of concerns with it. With property taxes, it's difficult because the state doesn't collect the money directly. We don't directly control it. We put the parameters in for the local governments and how they collect the money. But there's a reason why people have been talking about this. Well, I always used to say people have been talking about this for 30 years and couldn't come to a conclusion. But I mentioned that to Senator Grassley, and he said he thinks that people have been looking at property tax reform for 100 years, and he would know better than me. So this obviously is a difficult issue that very smart people haven't been able to solve. But there's really only a couple ways we can go about addressing it. Either the state could put more money into the system by either taking over levies that then is money that doesn't need to be collected by the local governments. But we saw when we took over the mental health levy that there were some local governments that then just saw that as an invitation to fill that gap with more spending. So it didn't really lead to property tax relief. Or we could increase tax credits or exemptions like the homestead exemption, the veterans tax credit, other things like that. That would maybe have a minimal impact. But then the other conversation that you have is really about putting stipulations, requirements on local governments that they can only tax so much, either capping the amount they can increase the valuations or cap the total amount of the growth of their budget at 2%, I think is one proposal. But then you need to have a serious conversation about what services are required. You know, if you're telling the local government you can only collect so much in taxes, then that does impact their ability to provide services from police and fire to parks and pools. And I do think that we need to have a conversation statewide about what is expected, because most of the time when I get calls from constituents, which I get a lot of them, that complain about property taxes, usually in the same breath, they'll say, but I also don't have enough gravel on my road and the park is not maintained the way it should be and the pool isn't open the hours it should be. So there seems to be an expectation of lower taxes and higher services right now. So I do think we need to be very open in this process and letting people know that we can restrict the amount of money that your local government is collecting, but that might also impact the amount of money that they have to provide services. Obviously, we want people to be more efficient and use the money better, but less money coming in might mean that some communities have to make hard decisions about the community center or the new park or the pool or things like that.
Thank you. Thank you. Overall, education is top of mind for a lot of Iowans. And what do you want to have happen concerning K-12 schools or college education in the session ahead?
So I'm not familiar with a ton of big issues coming up. I know that there's been a discussion a lot recently with the chair of the Higher Ed Commission, Higher Ed Committee, about community colleges offering four-year degrees. That's something I think we need to be very careful at looking at, because especially in Northwest Iowa, there was really, there probably should have been a Regent University up here, you know, 100 years ago. But because there wasn't, there was a vacuum that was really filled by a lot of independent private colleges in Northwestern, Dort, Morningside, Briarcliff, Buena Vista. So if you're encouraging community colleges to offer four-year degrees, you're kind of competing with these institutions that have already sort of been set up decades ago to meet that need. There are some areas where that might make sense, like in Southwest Iowa. So I think we really need to be careful about kind of how we approach that, but that is a good discussion to have, how you best serve parts of the state that are underserved. The last couple of years, we've had the conversation about the University of Northern Iowa at community colleges that I think works well and might be a more efficient way to address that same need. So I think that's one conversation we're going to continue to have in the field of education. You know, obviously funding is always an issue. We need to make sure that there's adequate funding for our K-12 schools, as well as the Regents and the community colleges. And that's a conversation we have every year.
Okay. And I do want to pose a question. When I talk to a Democratic representative who would be in the minority versus a Republican who's in the majority, so I ask kind of different questions, to, you know, depending upon the control that the parties have. But what do you make of assertions by Democrats that 2% growth for school budgets is not enough the last couple of years?
I guess I would push back and say we're still at record spending levels. Schools are still getting more money per pupil than they ever have before. I understand that inflation had been higher than that. Inflation is coming down closer to that amount. I know the mandatory, the increases in the salaries as far as their negotiated agreements with unions is usually 3% or the CPI, so it'll probably be lower than the CPI this year. But I understand the concerns. You know, everybody needs to be more efficient with the money they have. We have a lot of pressures for the limited amount of state resources, the increase in costs in Medicaid to the state are higher. There's also increased costs for, you know, other needs, corrections and other things across the state. So I think people need to understand that we're doing our best to make sure that we're getting a good amount of money into education, the amount that's needed to provide a strong public education for all Iowans. But also there are a lot of pressures elsewhere in the state budget for those funds as well.
Okay. And two more questions for you, Representative Bossman, before I let you go. There's a lot of bills that will be introduced in the near future. Some of them are by notable state officials. One popped in since I spoke yesterday with Representative Schulten, so I thought I would run it by you. Iowa Attorney General Brennan Byrd is asking lawmakers to allow for lifetime no-contact orders against sex offenders so that survivors don't have to seek an extension every 5 years. And I know maybe you haven't necessarily seen that. Do you have, I know maybe it's early, but do you have thoughts on that?
I haven't seen it. I'm open to that. I get a little concerned when you talk about lifetime, just because things can change. I know you can argue in this situation, you know, maybe things don't change. So I'm open to it, but I do know there's a reason why they have to revisit things, why it's set up that they revisit things every few years. Like I said, I'm open to that, definitely maybe expanding the time period. But yeah, as with anything, you want to see the language and you want to really look into it and make sure that there's not any unintended consequences. But I completely understand. There's also an issue kind of going through the courts, and there's been talk of legislation that would deal with something similar, that victims wouldn't have to, especially minor victims, wouldn't have to face their accuser in court, because there's concern, rightfully so, that would create, you know, undue trauma for the victims. So we definitely need to be very sensitive to the victims of those heinous crimes.
Okay, thank you. And then I guess one last question before I let you go. Is there any legislative topic that you want to share some light about that I haven't asked you about?
The only other thing I think that will be a big topic will be property rights, eminent domain. What I've been saying in my meetings and forums leading up to session is the two big issues that are probably going to take 90% of the time are property taxes and property rights. And with both of those, everybody can kind of agree that we should do something, but there's not really an agreement on what should do. So my concern is that we'll have a lot of talk. The House will have bills and the Senate will have bills and the governor will have proposals, and, you know, we'll get to April and maybe we haven't found consensus. But I think property rights is one of those. You know, people are concerned about the government's ability to condemn land, give it to private businesses for pipelines and other projects. I think that we need to be very careful when we're talking about the use of eminent domain, and there probably needs to be restrictions, or at least, you know, very clear guidelines on when this is allowed and when it's not allowed and how it can be used. So I do think that system needs to be reformed. And like I said, I think the Senate has already unveiled their proposal. I believe the House will have a different proposal. It'll be kind of a pared down version of our bill from last year. So hopefully we can find some consensus on that issue as well and protect landowners.
Thank you for bringing that up. I was definitely remiss for not even posing a question on that. So thank you for that. Thank you for discussing some of your objectives and outlook on the Iowa legislative session, Representative Bosman. It was nice for you to join us yet again.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. I always enjoy this.
And that will be a wrap for this edition of What's the Frequency, covering the possible issues that could predominate in the Iowa legislature for 2026, for a session that begins on Monday, January 12th. Thanks to the two Iowa legislator guests we heard from, Republican lawmaker Jacob Bosman of Sioux City and Democratic Representative J.D. Schulten of Sioux City. As we move into a third year for this show, thanks for being a part of our station as we work every day to tell the stories about Siouxland that inform, entertain, and expand the mind. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next week. What's the Frequency airs on Fridays at 10 a.m. and again on Sundays at 2 p.m. For Siouxland Public Media News, I'm Brett Hayworth.